Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
He says in verse 14, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was skillfully wrought together. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. This is astonishing. And in your book, the original King James says, all my parts are recorded, my body parts. You know where they came from, who I inherited, my looks, the curve of my ear, my nose. You know, you have them recorded in a book. Verse 17 is astonishing. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Listen to this. I know I'm reading a lot, but just let it sink in. If I should count all the thoughts that you have of me, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, you're still with me. Your worth to God cannot be overstated. And this isn't about you. It's about a great God who loves you. And he puts you here for a purpose. When you talk about your worth to God, you have to go back for a few moments. I'm going to take you on a journey, and I can preach this message in about 25 minutes. So just give me the next few moments and center in as tightly as you can to what I'm going to share with you. When you go back in the Old Testament and you read and understand the Old Testament, there were Gentiles and there were Jews. You and I, most of us, unless you are of a Jewish background or lineage, you would be considered, as the Bible calls you, a Gentile. And when Jesus came, he came for his own people. The Bible said he went into his own and his own received him not. He went and he came for the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, when he told his disciples, he sent them out two by two, and he said, go pray for people, go perform miracles in my name, go heal people. And he said, when you do this, he said, only to the household of Israel are you to bless and pray for. Do not, Jesus gave this strange instruction, do not pray for anyone who is not of the household of Israel, meaning if they're not in the bloodline of Jewish descent. And I could see in my mind a family coming and they were not. And that's why when you read, by the way, the Old Testament, and it says so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so. And you're thinking, God, out of all the things that you could have said, why do you go into such detail of telling us who the father and the great-grandfather and the great-great-great-great-grandfather? What is that all about? It's about a bloodline. It's about understanding how powerful a bloodline is. And so stay with me. Watch this. So here's a woman, and she's got a sick child, and she approaches one of the disciples of Jesus, and he's performing miracles in Christ's name, and he says, who is your father? And it's not a Jewish name, and he says, I'm sorry, you're not of the right stock, you're not of the right background, you're not of the right lineage, you're not of the right bloodline. I've been instructed that I cannot pray for you and your child. That sounds unbelievable to us. Even Jesus, one time when a woman came to him in Mark chapter 5, she brought her daughter who was tormented, suicidal, out of her mind. The Bible said she was possessed with evil spirits. And she begged Jesus to set her daughter free. And Jesus said, it's not right for me to give the children's bread, meaning those of Abraham's seed. I cannot give this miracle to you. And he said, because it's not right for me to do this for dogs. He called her a dog. And I love this woman's tenacity, because she said, but Lord, even the dogs can lick the crumbs under the table. And Jesus was so moved, he basically said, I'm not supposed to do this until after Calvary, but I'm going to skip a whole dispensation. And because of your faith, great is your faith, I'm going to heal your daughter, because you're getting in to what I'm here for. To the Jew, please understand, to our generation, most of the people in our generation They see their family bloodline as an obstacle, not an asset. Young people have no pride in their bloodline because many of them don't even know who their father is, or they come from a background that there is no pride in things that have happened in their family. But to the Jew, you have to understand their identity, their credibility, their stability. Everything about them was tied up in their bloodline. The sum total of the Jew was connected to Abraham. Your influence with God resided in whether or not you were in the bloodline of Abraham, because Abraham made a covenant with God, and God said, I'm going to bless anyone in your bloodline. The seed of Abraham meant that you were the benefactors of everyone who came before you. Paul, the apostle, even underscores this even more when he says that we were aliens, speaking of us, we Gentiles, he says we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise. It means we could not get into the blessing. We could not receive the blessing of the bloodline because we were of the right stock. We were of the wrong stock, the wrong inheritance, the wrong genealogy. No inheritance, no part. The power of the bloodline when you were in it was you became a benefactor of everyone who was before you. An example of this is in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, because the Bible said that there was a guy named Levi, and the Bible said God gave him credit for paying his tithes and giving 200 years before he was ever born, because he had a great, 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 great grandfather named Abraham who gave. And God said, I'm going to bless all the way down for 200 years your son named Levi. I guess you could say it was in Levi's genes. Come on, that's the best joke you're going to hear all night long. He had Levi's genes. Well, that's good for the Jews, Pastor Jensen. Thanks. I appreciate you giving me that little history lesson. But what's that got to do with me? Ephesians chapter 1 says that you were chosen. Everybody shout, chosen. You were chosen before the foundation of the earth. Before there was a generation of Abraham, God chose you. What did he choose you for? To put you in the bloodline of a blood man by the name of Jesus Christ. Now, to comprehend what it means to be chosen, to appreciate the scope of what it means to be chosen. And I want to say to every person in the furthest part of this balcony, on the main floor, wherever you are, whoever you are, listen to this preacher just a moment. You are chosen. You're chosen to be here. You're chosen to hear this message. God knew you would be here. You're chosen. So that's very important. Now watch this. So in Psalms 139, I think an example of what I'm trying to teach you is found in technology, particularly when it comes to the study of thoroughbred racehorses. A thoroughbred is referred to as a blood horse. And for over 300 years, the people who deal with blood horses, fairly expensive racehorses named blood horses, are called bloodstock agents. This is the article that I found, bloodstock agents. And a bloodstock agent is someone who buys and sells horses that cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's actually a science. These people study and they know horses' genealogy like you wouldn't believe. As a matter of fact, the bloodstock agents don't deal in horses, they deal in blood. A bloodstock agent is not looking for pretty. A bloodstock agent, when he goes to buy a horse, doesn't care how cute the horse is. He really doesn't care what color the horse is. He really doesn't care if it looks mighty and strong. It may look sway backed and his ears floppy, and it doesn't look like. All that he wants to know is one thing. He wants to know about its bloodline. He doesn't care about its weight. He doesn't care about any of the outward characteristics. When you buy a thoroughbred, you're buying a bloodline. North America's leading sire is a horse named Stormcat. And if you've got a mare that you would like to breed with this stallion called Stormcat, it will only cost you $400,000. And what do you get for $400,000? Do you get any guarantees? Do you get anything that you know is going to return your investment? Here's what you get. You get a colt that is born, and it's got cloudy eyes. It's got wobbly knees. It'll walk around and fall down. It will tremble in its own weakness and shake. And at that moment, the bloodstock agent will gladly pull out his checkbook and write a check for $400,000. I'll take it. Because a bloodstock agent is not put off by present weakness. He understands that in the bloodline, what is being inherited. A bloodstock agent, please understand, will pay $400,000, and he's not purchasing present achievements of that weak, pitiful colt. He's purchasing past achievements solely valued on his predecessor's victories. The worth of that little colt is solely attributed to the bloodline that he comes from. And he may look weak, and he may look defeated, and he may look pitiful, and he may look like he can't ever be an overcomer, and he can never be in the winner's circle, and he certainly will never have roses around his neck, and he'll certainly never win the Kentucky Derby or any other derby, because he doesn't look on the outside like a winner. But if he's connected and got the right bloodline, the blood will overcome his weaknesses, and they know it. Do you understand that that wobbly little colt, sired by Stormcat, with wobbly legs and cloudy eyes and unsteady stance, has in him Tlingit, Northern Dancer, South Ocean, Secretariat, Nearctic, Native Dancer, Something Royal, and Baylord Rose, all champion racing horses. They're all in that bloodline. And the power of a bloodline is you receive all of the achievements of those who've gone before you. Now, this is what blew my mind. And I'm already more than half through with this message. Turn to somebody and say, that's good news. Come on. Watch this. Before a foal or a colt is even born, a bloodstock agent pours over volumes of statistics. He does evaluations and records and pedigrees and genealogy, researching to ensure the probability of producing a quality colt. It may take years. Every expense and effort to purchase a winner is spent. Physical measurements of thousands of horses are made, and then a certain pattern emerges from the process. Colts are measured at 14 months, and digital screening is done to analyze. See, I thought they just let the horses hook up and they had a little colt. No. Listen to this. They're given a number to see how their parts fit together, and then the information is studied and to determine their genealogy, their geometry, I should say. They're given a number to see how their parts fit together. They're given biochemical analysis. They have a stride and motion test. Their cardiovascular system is studied. 58 different things, from muscle mass to bone structure, are used to study and analyze their efficiency. For example, if the back of the horse is too long, the energy required to raise the front end is too great, and it'll slow the horse down. If the front leg structure is not completely perfect, it causes the horse's trajectory to be off, and it makes him climb like an airplane. If it's too low, then his maximum velocity is lost from the push off from the gate. And so the hind legs must be in perfect harmony with the front legs. If the front hooves hit the ground too early, it creates a braking effect that shortens the stride. As a matter of fact, there's a complete breakdown that's done of the mare and the stallion that they are thinking about letting breed. stride, leg angle, foot strike, acceleration of limb action, size of heart, size of lung, other major organs. And after thousands of mares are studied, and after thousands of stallions are studied, and then their descendants are studied, and then after all, the bloodline is all broken down into individual components, months and years even of research on the mare and the stallion, finally they are selected. And what the colt will be in size, in capability, in height, in strengths, in weaknesses, is calculated on computer and on paper in the minds of men in virtual reality before they're ever born, before they're ever brought into this earth. They already know what their weaknesses will be, what their strengths will be, what the size of their nostrils, the size of their heart, the size of their lungs, what their bodies will look like, what their legs will be like. It's already down in virtual reality. They will not let a mare and a stallion come together to breed until they have completely evaluated what they will produce. Every ancestor on both sides is studied and researched and evaluated to make sure they're getting the right size of everything that they want. And after months and months and months of research, a mare is selected, a stallion is selected to produce the kind of colt they desire. Now get this, big point. The colt doesn't exist yet. Just in the thoughts of the bloodstock agents. He's not even been given his birth yet, but before he's ever born, there's a purpose and a plan. And before he's ever born, the bloodstock agent sees him in the winter circle, sees him with the roses on his neck, sees him overcoming every weakness, sees him through the bloodline that he comes from. More than a winner. He's acquired his victory through another. That's the power of a bloodline. Now, that's the natural. Now, let me go quickly to Psalms 139. This is why I love this chapter so much. Listen to the wording of David. Listen to these words. Oh, Lord. Verse 1, he said, you have searched me. The Hebrew word is you have researched me. You know my uprising and my down sitting. One translation said, you know my weaknesses, you know my strengths. You know what I can do and you know what I can't do. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You started making me before the foundation of the world was ever laid, and I just showed up a few years ago, but I was in my bloodstock agent's mind. I am fearfully, with great precision, with great concern. You are no accident. I am no surprise. You might have surprised your parents, but you didn't surprise God. And I need to tell you, you didn't come from your parents. You came through them. You came from God. Listen to what he says. My substance was not hid from them when I was made in secret. God watched me being put together. My substance, the word substance in Hebrew is embryo, galum, embryo. When I was in my mother's embryo, you watched me, God, being put together. In unformed mass. In thy books, all my members were recorded, all my body parts. He can tell where you got all of your whole looks. It's all in God's books. And then if that's not enough, he says, verse 16, when as yet there were none of them. I didn't even exist, but on the drawing board of heaven, in the thoughts of my heavenly bloodstock agent, God was putting together you and your children and your children's children with a plan, with a purpose, with a destiny. Then he sums it up and he says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I could count them, they would be more. He thinks about you more than the sands of the seashore. Do you know how long he's been working on you? That's why you can't give up. That's why you can't quit. That's why you can't take your life. That's why you can't waste another day on drugs or alcoholism or living some life with no meaning and no direction and no purpose. God has a plan for your life. You're better than that. You're not a piece of flesh to be passed around and be used over and over. God has a plan. He knew what you could be before you ever got here. How precious are your thoughts of me, oh God, me. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. But Israel, you wrote it. He knows my name. I am a friend of God. He holds me, the Bible said, in the palm of his hand. You are not the product of a moment. You are not the outcome of a day. You are not the conclusion of a year, and you're not the result of a decade. You are a child of eternity, and one day you will still be alive. In eternity, you will never die. You will be in heaven or hell, but you will be alive somewhere. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, put it this way. Before I was in my mother's womb, you knew me. Did you hear what I just said? That's why life is so precious. That's why we need to understand God is the giver of every life. And he said, before I was in my mother's womb, you knew me and ordained me and called me to be what you called me to be. That's in your Bible in Jeremiah chapter 1. I was on a television program some years ago, and I'll never forget it. There was a little couple that was interviewed before I went on. It was a 700 Club program. And they had told a story, and it caught my attention. I want to give it to you real quick. They said that they had just had a newborn baby. They had two children. One was about 3 years old, or maybe two and a half, and the other child was newborn, and they brought the newborn baby home, but the 2.5-year-old began to get jealous of all the attention. The newborn, pretty common. Sharice and I have had five children, and it's not unusual for the older ones to bite the younger one and let them know you're coming in on my turf, especially girls. I don't know what the deal is, but girls especially. And anyway, listen to this. So they're sitting there, and they said, so we brought our newborn baby home, and the little 2.5-year-old was not handling the new attention that the new baby was getting real well. And you know, they really had to correct the child and all of that. And finally, one day, the little 2.5-year-old got up and said to the parents, I want to go say goodnight to the baby, to my sister. And the little fella took the door, and he said, Mama, I want to do it by myself. And he closed the door. And the little fella climbed up on the crib, and she opened the door just to peep in to make sure everything was all right. And she said that child said to the little baby laying there, the newborn infant, quick. This is what she said. Quick. Tell me what God looks like. I'm starting to forget. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. You knew me, the Word of God declares. Now I'm in the last part of my message, and I want you to get it. And I'm going to call for the musicians in a few moments, but they're good right now. The Bible said from Abraham to David was 14 generations. And from David to Babylonian captivity was 14 generations. And from Babylonian captivity to Jesus Christ was 14 generations. Now, to make this last point, I want about 14 men, if they will, to run up here on the stage with me. I need 14 men to help me preach my final little point. Here they come. This was unplanned. Here they come. They're the brave ones. Come on, guys. Thank you. 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 I think that's about 14, close enough. If it's not 14, pretend it's 14, okay, just to make the point. Now, would you face that wall? all of you, and just get in a single line. There you go. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So catch this, and this is where I've been trying to get all night, and this is what you're going to take home with you. From Abraham. Abraham made a covenant with God. From Abraham, let's say 14 generations to David, 14 generations. From David to Babylonian captivity, 14 generations. And from Babylonian captivity to Jesus Christ, 14 generations. Now, guys, I want you to put your hands on the shoulder of the man in front of you, please. Just put both of them. I know it's uncomfortable, but go ahead and do it. Here's what I want you to see. Remember what I said, the power of a bloodline. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Samson, Ezekiel, Isaiah, David, the worshiper, Gideon. Hosea, on and on and on, every conqueror in the Bible, they're in this bloodline. God made a covenant with Abraham. I'll bless you, and I'll bless your seed, and I'll bless your seed, and no weapon formed against you will prosper, and I'll be your God. And that blessing, you're shouting on my time, don't do that. That blessing is passed down from generation to, here's the problem. I'm a Gentile. I can't get in. I need a blessing. I need God to help me with my family. I need God to heal me. I need God to touch me. I need God to bless me. I cannot get in. I'm locked out of the bloodline. For generation after generation after generation, we were locked out. Until the 42nd generation showed up. Have you ever been Jesus before?
Not at all.
Well, you're about to watch a miracle right here. The 42nd generation shows up. And his name is Jesus. And he's no longer in heaven. He's down here on earth. And without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. But this is a blood man named Jesus. And he has blood flowing through his body. And he's the seed of Abraham. And where Satan messed up, if he had just left Jesus alone, he would have lived and he would have died. But when Satan took Jesus and nailed him to the cross and began to shed the blood began to pour out and it got loose and it was no longer locked in the bloodline of one nationality and one race. Suddenly, but he was wounded for your transgressions and he was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed. Suddenly, when you and I, by faith, reach out and say, Lord, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you shed your blood, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Watch this. It became whosoever will. Now the white man, the black man, the red man, the Asian man, the woman who's messed up, the man who's messed up, whosoever will, if you'll connect to his blood will flow. And you may say, but Jensen, I've got weaknesses. I've got addictions. I've got problems. I've got stuff in my life. But if you come from the right bloodline, the blood will make you an overcomer. The blood has... His blood has already overcome death, already overcome sin, already overcome hell, already, and because I have His blood. Don't you count me out. I may be trembling in my own weakness. I may be weak. I may seem like I'm a nobody and a nothing. But you don't understand the power of my bloodline is because of Jesus. This is what Galatians 3 said. Get this. If ye be in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Watch this. And heirs according to the promise. It means now when I hook up with Jesus, I get Abraham's faith. I get Samson's strength. I get David's praise. It's in my blood to praise. Don't tell me to be quiet. Don't tell me to calm down. It's in my blood to worship. Come on, somebody, take a praise break and thank Him for the blood. It's in my blood to overcome. It's in my blood to get up out of the tomb of addiction and say, in Jesus' name, I'll live again, I'll love again, I'll dream again, I'll try again. But you let the enemy tell you that your life is over because you've been through a divorce or your life's been devastated and shattered. You may be in a weak moment, but if you're connected to the man, the blood man, Revelation 12 and verse 11 puts it this way. And they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Boy, I feel something stirring in my soul right now. I feel like telling you today that there's nothing you've done, there's nothing that you've gotten involved in that the blood of Jesus cannot overcome and cannot conquer and cannot defeat and hasn't already defeated. Everybody, just get up on your feet and give God, thank you, gentlemen, you preached good tonight. Get up on your feet and give Jesus a big praise. Come on, come on, just take a moment and praise Him for the blood. Thank Him for the blood. Now, what's so powerful? You know, if I didn't serve God for any other reason, I would serve Him for my family. Because once the blood hits my life, it starts flowing to my children and my children's children. And you're looking at a man that's blessed not because he's slick and sharp. He's blessed because I connected to the strong Son of God who shed His blood. And my children, all of them, they were not perfect. God knows they were not perfect. Oh, honey, I could tell you. I could cry just like you. But here's what I've watched. When Charisse, my wife of 27 years, and I have faced troubles and trials and struggles and hell came against our marriage and came against our children, came against our family. We learned the secret. Lord, we feel weak, but we plead the blood of Jesus. We connect to the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus overcomes every fear. The blood of Jesus overcomes every inferiority. The blood of Jesus overcomes every depression. The blood of Jesus overcomes every attack that comes to destroy your home. Don't you understand? You have winner's blood in you. I was a Gentile, but I have royal blood in my vein through the cross. Everybody take another praise break. You're clean. You're forgiven. Quit putting yourself down. You're chosen. You're called. You're blessed, you're favored through the blood. It has nothing to do with your achievements. It's His blood. That ought to make you worship. That ought to make you cry. That ought to make you get emotional. That ought to make you not care who came with you. It ought to make you say, oh, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. I'm going to give you one more chance in the Bryn Center to praise God for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Woo. And here's the deal. I plead the blood over every marriage, over every family, over every single person. I plead the blood of Jesus. Because when you get connected to the blood man and you get your sins covered in his blood, then the plan that he had before you ever got here, it kicks in. He's got a wonderful plan, and it's, boy, I hear the Lord saying, tell him, it's not too late. It's not too late. You might have wasted years, but he can restore the years, the Bible said, that you have squandered and wasted. And it won't stop with you. It'll hit the next generation. And the next generation. And as long as the earth remains, there's going to be some Jensen and Sharice blood that's connected to Jesus' blood. And there will be children and children's children and children. And even when I'm dead and gone, God will remember this night when I say I plead the blood over my family, and it'll bring strength. It'll bring protection. It'll bring blessing and healing. You can be healed tonight in your body through the blood of, woo! Somebody praise God one more time. I'm trying to calm down. We're honoring the blood. We're not praising man. We're praising Jesus, who deserves the glory for what he did. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You can pray this prayer. Nobody's going to twist your arm. Nobody's going to make you. Nobody's going to think less of you. It's not that you've got to, it's you get to. You get to connect to Jesus tonight. You were chosen. A million other people could have sat in that seat, but I believe, see, I'm just this crazy. I believe when God had them build the Brand Center, he didn't just think about all the wonderful students here and all of that and all the ball games that happened, but he knew one night. They'll be there. And I love them so much that I'll send a guy from Georgia for 6 years to Orange County to start a church so that they can reach a point where the Brand Center can be filled and a friend of a friend of a friend comes and suddenly the curse becomes a blessing through the blood line of Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. I want to embarrass you. Listen to me. I will not humiliate you. But Jesus never comes where he's not invited. You have to invite him. And it takes humility. It really does. But if tonight you would say, you know, I've tried it my way and I need the power of the bloodline. I want the blood of Jesus to cleanse me and change me and bless me. I want the blessing to be passed on from me to my family, my loved ones, my friends. And tonight I want to commit my heart to Jesus Christ. If you're in this room and you would say, Jensen, I want to get right with God tonight. I'm not right and I want to get right. Pray for me. Whether you're on the balcony or on the main floor, this is your chance. If you would say, Pastor, pray for me. I need the blood that you've been preaching on to cleanse me and forgive me. Give me a brand new start. Pray for me. If that's you, raise your hand as high as you can get it right where you're standing. Beautiful. Amazing. Keep it up high. High, high, high. All over the balcony. All over the room. All over the room. Keep it up high and don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. This is actually of, you know, your fingerprint. Look at me just a moment. Your fingerprint is on your hand, and it's the most unique thing. Nobody else on this planet with 6 billion people has your fingerprint. So when you raise your hand, God says, oh, I remember you. So one more time, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior and you want to get in the bloodline of Jesus Christ, lift your hand high one more time. Let me see it all over this room. And keep it up high. And if you see someone around you, open your eyes, look around, keep your hand up. If you see someone with their hand raised, and there are literally hundreds. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Just reach over and put your hand on their shoulder and say, we're blood brothers now. We're blood sisters now. We're family now. Let's pray this prayer, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus. I can't hear you. Say, Lord Jesus. You're the Savior. And you shed your blood that I could be forgiven. And tonight, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I now receive the blessing of the bloodline. I receive all that you did on the cross for me. Say this, I'm forgiven, I'm loved, I'm chosen. And the blessing's on me. It's on my house, and it's on my children. If you don't have them, you're speaking by faith. They're coming down the road. My children's children. In Jesus' name. Can we give the biggest shout to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter at Jensen or Facebook at Jensen Franklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.